Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever heard the word extraterrestrial before? Extraterrestrial means that something is from outside of the Earth's atmosphere, and often we use the word to describe aliens. Of course, we don't know for sure if aliens exist or not, but we can imagine that if we ever met an alien, they would be super different than us humans. I think that aliens would eat, breathe, and interact in ways that I wouldn't expect living creatures to behave. But all that would be part of the wonder of meeting an alien. Today's guest doesn't interact with extraterrestrials, but she does interact with intraterrestrials. Strange life forms that we can find inside our atmosphere, right here on planet Earth.
The parallels with extraterrestrials are intentional. The idea is that there is life inside Earth that is so different from life as we know it that it kind of seems like alien life. It's not actually alien life, but we just learned about it in the past 10, 20 years, and we continue discovering more of it.
This is Karen Lloyd. She is a professor of Earth Sciences and Environmental Biology at the University of California. She spends her time getting to know these strange intraterrestrials, also called microbes. Microbes are living things that are so small you need a microscope in order to see them. You can find microbes living everywhere, and they can teach us a lot about what it means to be alive. Karen is especially interested in microbes that live in intense environments, like volcanoes, the ocean floor, and even 8 miles beneath the Earth's surface. Humans and other living things would not be able to survive in these places, but for extreme-loving microbes, also called extremophiles, living on the edge of survival is just another Tuesday. In pursuit of these microbes, Karen has been to lots of extraordinary places, including climbing into a volcano.
The volcano that I descended into, the crater that I descended into, was Poás Volcano in Costa Rica. It's a very, very active volcano. And when I went in 2017, it was a very calm day, so we weren't super worried. But still, even going in, it's not an easy hike. You kind of have to be an extremophile yourself a little bit to get down there. It's not nice rocks. They're glass. And so they're very sharp, and they're very scrabbly, and it's easy to fall. And once you get into the bottom of the crater, there's a lake, which is the most acidic thing I've ever measured in my life. And so it is basically, and it's sulfuric acid, so it's battery acid. And the ground is 100 degrees Celsius, so it's boiling ground. So you have to keep your boots moving so they don't melt, and you have to not fall in the lake. And so it's all very scary to be in there, plus the whole thing might erupt. And, you know, hearing all this, you may say, well, why would life even bother with this? This seems very inhospitable.
That sounds about right to me. I wouldn't want to live in a place with an acidic lake, boiling hot ground, and the possibility of an eruption hanging over my head. Good thing microbes don't care about stuff like that.
It's actually teeming with life, and there's lots of microbes that live in this exploding every now and then lake, and the reason is that they are really good at getting all the energy that comes up from these deep volcanic gases. They're not waiting for plants to make their food for them. They're making their own food from what comes up from the volcanic gases, and it's worth it to them.
These microbes have adapted to survive in this difficult place. By making their own food, the extremophile microbes have everything they need to create energy and survive, even at the bottom of a volcano. Karen has also found microbes that live deep in the ground. It can be pretty interesting to imagine what life might be like for these living creatures.
What would your day-to-day life be like? Well, you're not going to have the sun coming up every morning and going down. I mean, that's all happening way outside of your reach. You're not going to have seasons. And really, not much is going to change at all. Your chemical environment, your physical environment is really not going to change. So these organisms, when they get buried or when they find themselves, however they get there, in these deep, dark recesses where nothing changes, they don't seem to do much. They seem to just sit still. Things are happening. They're eating, they're breathing. We can see them do this. We can see them take up food. We can see them produce food, but they don't ever divide. And that's weird, because if you think about like E. coli or the stuff that makes you sick, germs and pathogens, that stuff divides really fast, but they are not doing that. They are just sitting still and kind of being zen-like for, we don't know. We can hypothesize that they can do it for thousands of years.
Whoa, they can live for thousands of years? Not only can the microbes survive in difficult environments, but they can live there for a long time. The microbes can live a long time because they aren't wasting their energy and dividing up willy-nilly, which is how most cells grow and multiply. These intraterrestrials have slowed down and are living life at the most basic level.
One of the coolest things I think that the interterrestrials are showing us is that, you know, we take in food, we put out wastes, we always have to be processing. If we're not, then we're dead. That is a universal thing of life, universal nature of life on Earth. These intraterrestrials have to be doing that too. The thing that sort of takes the lid off of our assumptions about that need is that the intraterrestrials sort of make us pause and say, over what time scale does that have to occur? I could live without eating for an entire day. I don't want to, but I wouldn't die. But I cannot live if I don't eat for a year. That's too long. But what about these ones? These are simpler beings and they don't need as much stuff. And so they stretch food out over much longer than we do. It's possible that a single cell could live for 100,000 years or a million years.
Okay, that kind of blows my mind. It's incredible to think that one tiny cell could live for a million years. But I guess anything is possible if that little cell is just minding its business, eating and processing somewhere deep in the earth. Karen's microbe adventures have taken her to other extreme locations, like the ocean floor. To get there, she rode in a submersible, which is a special underwater vehicle that can go extra deep into the water.
There's a big plexiglass ball in the front, and there's one pilot and one scientist who sit in the front. In the back is what we call the coffin, and you have to lay down, and you can't really sit up straight, and it's like an extra pilot and an extra scientist, and you kind of can't do as much back there, and it's really cold. And that's where I was. Even though I wasn't in like the really nice place, I didn't care, because I just wanted to go. I just wanted to go to the bottom of the ocean. I'd been studying this for forever, and however it took, I was going to get down there.
The journey down to the ocean floor was pretty amazing. Karen got to see all sorts of interesting forms of life as she and the submersible sank down to the ocean floor.
When you're falling through the ocean, you know, I kind of had, even as a like on paper oceanographer, I had a simplistic view of like, okay, there's this tiny little phytoplankton and these little zooplankton, and maybe once you get down to a certain level, it's just nothing until there's like a fish or a shark or a whale. Actually, that's not the case at all. It's more like a jello mold. It's just completely full, chock full with stuff. And I mean like invertebrates and like little jellyfish and just everywhere. And this stuff glows when you hit it, when you smack it. It's bioluminescence. And so if you turn off all the lights in the submersible, it glows as it goes past your porthole. So it's like sparkles. It's beautiful. And sometimes like these long segmented bodies, you'll see this like crescendo of sparkles like run through the body. And so you'll get this like flash of like, oh, that's a whole worm or something, like something crazy out the porthole. And then it just like continues on because you're falling past it.
Karen was so excited to learn more about the microbes on the ocean floor. And when she got there, she was almost starstruck to be in such an extreme place.
It was like meeting a famous person. You know, it's kind of like if you have some movie star that you just love and you love their movies, and then you see them in person, you might be a little speechless. You know, I felt that way about seeing the seafloor for the first time. It's like, okay, this is it. It's right here. This is the deep sea. I'm half a mile down. And it didn't look like much. I was like, okay, this is pretty bare. But then, you know, I sat for a little while longer and I saw there were a sea anemone. There were crabs. There was a crab that wanted to fight us. It was really, really cute. It was like, this poor thing, you know, being visited by a submersible is not something that happens often for sea life. And so you can imagine this crab spent its entire life never having seen anything from humans at all, and then suddenly this like alien ship lands right in front of it, and so it just stood there with its claws open and like ready to fight us.
In addition to seeing this defensive crab, Karen was able to collect a lot of microbe samples from the seafloor. Once she returned to the surface, she had a treasure trove of knowledge to unlock.
When we brought the samples back and I had processed them and spent a long time in lab and I had my sequences, my DNA sequences at my computer, I was trying to figure out what they were, and I was choosing from these known things, you know, the things that grow in a lab bench, the things that we know about, normal microbiology. And I was like, these are not normal microbiology. I don't know what these things are, but I thought I was a bad scientist. I was like, okay, these are supposed to be bacteria. Let me figure out what they are. And I was like, I don't know, I'm screwing it up. And, you know, I was talking to other researchers and they're like, you're not screwing it up, we're getting the same thing. This is new stuff.
Discovering brand new microbes in extreme places is quite the adventure. For Karen, these microbes make her world a more wonderful place.
My world is fuller knowing that there's such a variety of different ways for life to be in really extreme capacities, not just that like we can have things that have a new type of tail, which is also exciting. I don't want to knock finding a new type of monkey or something like that. That's good stuff. But when we make these discoveries, we're discovering things that have a totally new way of breathing than we knew before. I mean, that's a fundamental diversity.
We live in a world full of amazing life. From the biggest whales to the tiniest microbes. Scientists like Karen are constantly uncovering new wonders about life on Earth and help us remember that organisms can survive and thrive, even under the most extreme conditions. We hope you Wonder Kids are enjoying Season 4. We have something fun for you that will make the Constant Wonder Kids experience even better. This season, you can print out Constant Wonder Kids trading cards with a new card for every episode. Enjoy a fun fact and then share your new knowledge with others. You can find this printable and other fun activities at the link in the description. Enjoy!
A quick word for you parents, I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Karen Lloyd and her work with extreme microbial life. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called One Scientist's Search for Life in Extreme Places. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.